The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Sales Talk with nationally recognized sales and customer relationship management consultant, speaker, sales trainer, and author, Russ Lombardo. In the next hour, Russ and his expert guests get down to brass tacks and talk about what's needed today to succeed in sales. Pull up your chair and grab a pencil. You're going to need it. Here's your host, Russ Lombardo.
Hi, welcome to Sales Talk, a bottom line resource for sales management and sales professionals. Brought to you by our sponsor, Factiva SalesWorks from Dow Jones. I'm Russ Lombardo, president of Peak Sales Consulting and host of Sales Talk Radio. And today's show is called The 7 Keys to Effective Business-to-Business Appointment Setting. Unlock your sales potential. If you're in the world of business-to-business sales, then you don't want to miss today's show. Every sale starts with the appointment, and getting that first appointment is crucial in starting the sales process with new prospects. But what are the essentials of setting quality sales appointments? And how do you prepare to make your calls? What are the compelling questions to ask and statements to make? How can you leverage voicemail and email as powerful appointment-setting tools? And what's the aha formula, and how can it help you overcome common objections with scheduling your appointments? Well, these are the questions, or just some of the questions, that we'll be discussing on today's show with my guest, Andrea Siddick-Rolfe, who is the founder of Siddick Incorporated and author of The 7 Keys to Effective Business-to-Business Appointment Setting, Unlock Your Sales Potential. Please join me in welcoming today's guest, Andrea Siddick-Rolfe, CEO of Siddick Incorporated. Andrea, welcome to our show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what Siddick Incorporated does before we get started?
Sure. About 5 years ago, I started my company, had an epiphany of an idea for a sales training program based on some training I had done as a sales manager and had a lot of success with, and was noticed by my VP of sales, who was out of Austin, Texas at the time when I was managing teams in Seattle and Portland. And he noticed the bottom line, the numbers. He said, gosh, what's going on in the Northwest? Your numbers are incredible. What are you doing? I said, you know, I'm doing this blitz thing. We get people on the phone, we schedule appointments, we generate leads, and it just keeps the pipeline full. It's competitive, it's fun, it's high energy. Well, he was just blown away and said, you know, gosh, it's just incredible. I'm seeing these amazing results. You know, great job, keep up the good work. So I got off the phone with him and thought, you know, there's an idea for a business here. Here's the VP of sales of a huge company, thinks this is a great idea. I bet I could package this, give it a cool name, and sell it to other companies who need to prospect and build their pipeline. So without much more thought than that, quit my job, and the Blitz experience was born, and that is the program that I have created and continue to teach, and it's an activity-based sales training program that empowers salespeople to schedule appointments with qualified prospects during the course of the training, resulting in a pipeline full of new opportunities at the end of the day.
Great. Now, what year did this start?
2002.
Okay.
Yeah, my anniversary is coming up in May. So 5 years.
God, that's great. That's great. It goes fast, doesn't it?
It does. Really fast.
And, you know, I read your book, The 7 Keys to Effective Business-to-Business Appointment Setting, and I thought it was excellent. I mean,
thank you.
I do sales training, too. I work with sales organizations. We do a lot of the same thing, although you and I talked about that. You know, I kind of take it beyond the sales call further, but a lot of clients that I have, you know, are looking for exactly what you have to offer. So we have a good synergy. But in working with salespeople, this is the kind of thing I'd love to recommend to them. And it was a great book. It's a nice, easy read. It's not a huge tome, but it's full of just good advice and everything. So I highly recommend it.
Thank you.
Good job in the book.
Thank you very much.
So, Andrea, let's start by talking about the question that I get a lot is, like, how does someone determine who to call? Let's address that first.
Yeah, before you can even pick up the phone and schedule appointments and fill your pipeline, you really need to understand who your customer is. And one of the things that I find salespeople are a little bit guilty of is they kind of think everybody's a prospect. Everybody needs my products and services. Well, that's not really true. And the more specific you are in what you're looking for and who you're looking for, the more likely you are to succeed. So what I recommend is creating the ideal client profile, also known as the ICP. And what you do is you basically write down a list of all of the criteria that make up what you would consider an ideal client. And the easiest way to do this is to pick one or two of your best customers that are currently doing business with you. Get a piece of paper and just write down what are the characteristics. What is the size of this company in terms of employees? How many locations do they have? what's their annual revenue? How many decision makers do I need to deal with in order to make the sale? What is their return on investment in using my program? What's the value that I bring to them? What industries are a good fit for my products and services? If there are vertical markets, for instance, government or healthcare or medical or legal, and just really getting specific about, okay, here's this profile. And you could even take it a step further by creating what I call a customer survey. Now, not to be confused with a customer service survey, in doing the survey, you're not really looking at this time for feedback on, hey, how are we doing? It's more, help me understand why you chose us as your vendor or as your supplier. And you really get a lot of feedback from your existing customers to say, hey, this is why I bought from you. And you might even want to ask, who else were you looking at? You know, what competitors did you consider, and why did you choose us over them? So in doing this, you help to really solidify your ideal client profile. But the other great thing is you get testimonials. You're asking for people to give you positive feedback. They're giving you all the buying signals and all the reasons that they wanted to work with you and what a great job you've done. And then at the end of that interview, you can just simply say, may I have your permission to use this? It sounds like you're real happy and would love to be able to share this with other prospects.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, works really well. It's just a great way to stay focused. And the more focused and specific you are in your search for new prospects, the more likely you are to close that business.
Now, wouldn't you say, too, that the more companies that you go to for this survey, as you called it, the more accurate your data will be?
Absolutely.
Instead of just hitting a few of them, you want to hit as many as you can, right?
Right, right, yes.
And one thing I always recommend to people, too, is as you're doing these kind of things, you want to put that information into a good place so it's easy to get to and easy to do searches and do filters on and pull that information out. So then you do your analysis, and that's where CRM technology or customer relationship management technology or Salesforce automation tools come into play, because
mm-hmm.
you want to track all that. So it's one thing to get it all on paper, but you know, I've seen that happen where people just have stacks of paper and no one ever goes through it.
Right. And the key that it being easily accessible, like what you said, is really key in being able to use it.
Right, because it's such important information to have.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right, getting that profile. So let's talk about then, what are the essentials in setting quality sales appointments?
Well, after you've created your ideal client profile, the next thing is preparation. And I'll go into detail about this a little bit later, but preparation is a big piece of being successful when making those calls, and there's a lot that you have to do to prepare. You don't want to spend a lot of time when you've scheduled time to make calls preparing, because now you've just wasted that valuable calling time. So preparation is a big one. And asking open-ended questions and open-ended statements to get the customer to do most of the talking. Leveraging voicemail and email to set appointments. There's some great techniques around using those technologies to actually help you set appointments. Using the AHA formula, which is something that I created to overcome the most common objections. Leveraging your ambassadors to secure more quality sales appointments. And then finally, tracking and measuring your progress.
And these are all the things I was going to ask you about.
Of course.
And you know why?
See how that worked?
Because I read your book, and I said, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that. So there are about, well, that's the seven key initiatives or
right.
things to do, right?
That yep.
we're talking about. So you're saying that the essentials in setting quality sales appointments are really just to follow what these seven key elements are.
Exactly.
Which now we're going to hold everybody at bay yet. But you mentioned something about open-ended questions. I don't know if you're going to get into that later or not, but let's talk about that a little bit, because that's the who, what, when, where, why, and how
yes.
questions. Talk a little bit about that, would you?
Sure, absolutely. One of the mistakes that I see people making most often when making calls is they ask close-ended questions that will get either a yes or no answer. And if the person says no, you're sort of dead in the water. So you really don't want to give them that option. So by asking the who, what, where, why, when, you're getting them to just talk openly, more specifically about what they want to talk about, and some great phrases that are just really open and really general that allows the prospect to speak freely are things like, tell me about, could you tell me a little bit more about that, or help me understand, or please describe. And in doing so, you allow the prospect to determine exactly what they're going to tell you about. Because in asking real pointed, close-ended questions, you might be having a dialogue with somebody that's really not even interested in what you're asking about. But if you ask the open-ended question, then it allows the prospect to tell you a little bit more about what they're interested in or what their needs are.
Sure, they can elaborate more on it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, I used to say in my sales training classes, you could turn any question into an open-ended question. And I said, well, let's try it. And someone asked me a closed-end question, and I turned it into an open-ended one. And then one wise guy finally said, how old am I? I couldn't figure that one out. I couldn't do that one. So I changed now to almost any question.
Right, right.
Turn almost any question an open-ended question.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of that is preparing that, too. I mean, some people are more quick on their feet than others, but, you know, practicing this at home and you know, with your peers and stuff is really important, right? So that it comes naturally to you. It's not something that you have to figure out while you're in front of a customer and sound like you're actually formulating a question on the spot.
Right. You want it to become natural. It just needs to be a part of your everyday language. I mean, you could even practice with your spouse or with your friends, and, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be role-playing, sales call role-playing, but, you know, just in general, and to think of it almost like small talk. You know, when you're getting to know somebody, a lot of times you ask open-ended questions because you want that other person, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself. You know, you want the other person to do the majority of the talking.
Mm-hmm. The one training ground that I always recommend to people, because this falls right into that listening skills arena, you know, is on an airplane when you're sitting with somebody. And the game I used to play with people, and I'm probably boring listeners who heard this before, but I'll give the short version, is just basically try to get the person next to you to talk the entire trip, which is doable. I've done it quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they get off the plane, they tell you what a great conversationalist you are. And they don't even know your name. I mean, I've had this happen many. I chuckle to myself, like, you don't even know who the hell I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And they think you're a great conversationalist. Like, I have your card. And they're like, well, you don't even know what I do.
Right, right.
But
you got them to do all the talking.
Yeah, right, right. It's great experience, though, and a great way to learn. And parties, social events, things like that. It's a good way to learn. So, and it's easy to do. And one thing I also tell salespeople is, you know, they always say, that person's got a great gift of gab, he'd be a great salesperson. And selling is about listening, not talking.
Right.
And if you're shy, this is a perfect thing to do because you're now getting the other person to do all the talking.
Right.
Which is what, you know, helps you warm up then into that whole relationship that you're trying to build.
Exactly.
So, listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear more about unlocking your sales potential with the 7 keys to effective B2B appointment settings with Andrea Siddick-Rolf. We're going to talk about that and a lot more when we return to Sales Talk after this.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business. This is Voice America Business.
This message is brought to you by Factiva from Dow Jones.
Bob, have you seen our new sales quota? It's a real stretch. Every year it just gets harder and harder to sell, but what can we do about it?
Factiva from Dow Jones can help. Read our new white paper called Why It's So Tough to Sell Today and What You Can Do About It. You'll learn how to identify and qualify leads better, plus plan for calls more effectively, which will make your appointment more fruitful. Help yourself. Go to www.factiva.com/sales talk.
Okay, so that's www.factiva.com/sales talk.
If your sales reps aren't making quota, or if you have difficulties managing your customer relations, or if you just want a world-class sales organization, then call Peak Sales Consulting. We can improve your customer acquisition and retention by working with your management and sales teams to develop your customer relationships and selling skills. For your sales and CRM consulting and training needs, or for a speaker at your next event, call us at 702-655-5652 or visit us at www.peaksalesconsulting.com. Peak Sales Consulting, a unique combination of sales and CRM expertise. The economy and financial markets continue to expand in both their size and complexity, but being able to anticipate changes in the markets for housing, jobs, and financial assets remains a crucial ingredient to our financial well-being. On the economy and the markets, with economist, investment strategist, portfolio manager, and host, Doug Cliggett, utilizes his 25 years of experience with that of his highly informed guests to provide clear, reasoned explanations of current events. To navigate the markets that influence our lives every day of the week, tune into The Economy and the Markets with Doug Cliggett, broadcasting each Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. The Economy and the Markets. Clear thoughts in a complex world.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome back to Sales Talk with Russ Lombardo. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Russ.
Hi, and welcome back. As my automated friend just said, you're listening to Sales Talk, and I'm your host, Russ Lombardo. And my guest today is Andrea Siddick-Rolfe, CEO of Siddick Incorporated. And we're talking about how to unlock your sales potential with the 7 keys to effective business-to-business appointment setting. Well, before the break, Andrea gave us the 7 or so critical essentials for setting quality sales appointments. So I want to get into that now, and I'd like to ask you first, how should one prepare to make sales calls?
Well, the first thing that you need to do, like I said earlier, is create your ideal client profile. Decide who you're going to call. And once you've done that, then you want to put your lists together of who you're going to call based on your ideal client profile. So there's lots of companies out there that can help you with this, where you can do filters based on a specific criteria so that you are then only calling on prospects who meet that criteria. So once you have your list ready to go, then you're going to want to do things like check on some online resources. There are all kinds of either free or, you know, places that have a nominal fee online that can actually help you generate leads. And one of my favorites is called Google Alerts. And this is a system that it's an email update that allows you to basically go into Google and you create these alerts based on phrases that when these phrases appear in the news or online, they make a good lead for you. So you want to know about that. If it's a, or maybe it's a competitor. Maybe you want to know what your competitors are doing. And anytime the news says something about your competitor, you want to know about that. Or maybe there's a particular prospect that you would like to work with when that name appears in the news and so on. So rather than going online and spending a lot of time doing a lot of research, you just set up a Google alert to let you know when these particular phrases are in the news, and then at the end of each day, you will get Google alerts sent to you in your email, and those become great leads, just market intelligence, so to speak. There are some other great online tools as well. Another one is called the Puget Sound Business Journal Search Watch, where you can actually go online and learn about things that are happening in the news in terms of business, what business is doing, what business market is doing. Also, there's something called Hoovers, which is a business intelligence system that does a whole lot of research for you ahead of time on companies. You can find the names of contacts, phone numbers, email addresses, physical mailing addresses, and you can even learn a little bit more about the company. They go into a lot of detail about this company has been in the news and any mergers or acquisitions, that type of thing, which can be really helpful if you're trying to develop a list or develop leads. Another great resource is sellingpower.com, just in terms of educational information for sales professionals. There's some really good tips there.
I love Selling Power.
Yeah.
I recommend it to everybody. I've been buying that for years. It's $27 a year. You'd be crazy not to buy that if you're or subscribe to if you're not in sales.
Oh, it's a wonderful resource. It's a magazine, and then they also have an online subscription as well.
They have several. They have, yeah, online subscription. They also have newsletters like CRM newsletter, sales newsletter, sales management newsletter. So it's a great, great resource.
Yeah. Another one is lead411.com, and this is a place that you could go with your ideal client profile and actually plug in the filters to get just those specific leads that are really the best for you and for your business. Also, another great resource is called LinkedIn, and I know a lot of people have probably received an invite from somebody that they know for LinkedIn, and it's sort of like, if you're not familiar with it, it's kind of like a professional MySpace. It's a great online networking tool, and it's sort of based on the philosophy of 6 degrees of separation, or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, as some people call it. And it just basically says that between us and every other person on the planet, there are no more than 6 degrees or 6 people that are linking us. So when you go into LinkedIn, you could enter the name of a CEO that you'd like to meet or the name of a company, and it will actually show you the link between you and that individual or between you and that company based on the people in your network and the people in those people's network and so on. Great tool, totally free. And then the final one is JustSell.com. That's also another online free resource, just very educational, all kinds of great tips and tools for salespeople. These are all things you can use to help develop lists and help prepare to make your calls.
They're great tools. I'd like to add two more if you don't
sure,
mind.
Sure, absolutely.
One is the Sales Track, which is thesalestrack.com, which is you take your profile that you talk about creating and you enter that criteria, and it'll allow you to download into a spreadsheet as many leads as you want with that criteria. So you put in geography, SIC code, revenue, and they have, I forgot how many millions of businesses and tens of millions of residential names as well. So depending on if you're B2B or B2C, you can use it for both of those. And, of course, the other one is our sponsor, Factiva SalesWorks from Dow Jones. So there are two other sources you can add to your list.
Absolutely. I just wrote them down. And another technique is something that I like to call target prospecting. And the way that this works is you sit down and you outline maybe five companies that you would really like to do business with. You create an Excel spreadsheet and enter all the information that you have about those companies, whether it's the contact name or the address or the phone number. And whatever information you don't have, you leave that blank, and you send that list to one referral partner at a time, somebody that you do networking with and trade leads with. Send it to one person at a time and say, hey, here are five companies I'd really like to do business with. What information do you have about each of these companies? Can you help me fill in the blanks? And you'd be real surprised how many people can come back and say, oh, yeah, my friend Bob works there, and he knows, you know, Joe, the CEO, or whatever. So that's another great technique it's what I call target prospecting. You're just getting really specific about the kind of companies that you want to work with.
I like that. That's good. Yeah, yeah. So once you find them, I mean, unless you had more preparation things you want to talk about.
No.
That's not like a lot of good preparation to do, you know, all that. Basically, you're taking it from a cold call to a warm call.
Right.
Because now you're more familiar with what's going on. You have more in common to talk about with this otherwise cold prospect. If you read a press release or something, news going on, you got something they can relate to. So you're warming up your cold call.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
making it easier.
Yeah, exactly, which is the whole idea of it, and more successful too, right?
Yes.
So once you do that, then what are some of the compelling questions to ask or statements to make when setting your appointments?
You know, I just like to find out a little bit more about the company. And one of the things you can do is as you start to have a conversation with the prospect, you almost want to get them to start doing a lot of talking, because then you can use the fact that you are having a conversation as the reason to meet in person. So that's the beauty of asking an open-ended question that starts with who, what, why, where, when, or can you tell me a little bit about your business? You get the prospect to do the talking, and what can happen is salespeople sometimes will say too much and have too lengthy of a conversation over the phone, and now there's no reason to meet now. You've just said everything, you've sort of given everything away, you've eliminated any curiosity that may have been there. So by intentionally engaging the prospect in conversation and then saying, gosh, it sounds like we have a lot to talk about, we should really just get together. You know, how does Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock work for you? And anytime, and by the same token, if you are calling on a prospect and they start to ask you questions, because sometimes that will happen, they'll say, well, why don't you tell me a little bit more about your business? Then instead of going on and on about your business and trying to do it over the phone, you can say, it sounds like you have a lot of questions, and actually that's the reason for my call, is to set up an appointment to answer some of your questions.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole goal with this is to get the appointment, not to sell my products and services.
Right.
And one of the things that's been really, really tough to change in people's language when they make these calls is instead of asking for the appointment, they ask if the person would be interested. I'd like to come and learn about your company. Would you be interested in meeting with me? Mm-hmm. Who's going to say yes to that?
Yeah. I mean,
not really. Okay, thanks, bye, you know, and then you're done. So mm-hmm. I try to change that. Instead of saying, would you be interested, you know, I'd like to meet with you. How does Wednesday at 10 work for you? And to take all this lingo of try, I'd like to try to set an appointment. Could we maybe, possibly, hopefully get together?
Yeah. You don't really want to meet, do you? Like on Thursday, maybe?
Yeah. Right. You don't really, maybe. Could you possibly please meet with me? I mean, it's like, how desperate is that? So just taking all of those words out of the lingo altogether.
You have to be a little more presumptuous in sales when it comes to that, right? You have
mm-hmm.
to presume they want to see you. You have to presume that you have a compelling reason for them to meet with you, and have to show in your voice and things like you're saying. You know, you can't, you know, keep sounding scared about the whole thing.
Well, yeah. And sometimes I think what happens is salespeople have this mindset that, oh, I'm intruding, I'm interrupting. And if you can change that mindset, I mean, you wouldn't be working for that company if you didn't believe in their products and services. You wouldn't be able to successfully sell something you didn't really believe helped people. So if you change the way that you think about it and say, you know what, this is a great opportunity for this prospect. Mm-hmm. They are lucky that I called them today. They are going to love me. They're going to love my products. Of course they're going to want to meet with me. And absolutely that can come across in your voice. I've had people, you know, meet with me that I've called and tried to schedule a meeting, and I get there and they say, I'm sorry, what are we meeting about? And I say, you don't know why I'm here? And they say, well, no, you just were so excited about what you were doing, I just had to learn more. So, I mean, that's a lot. It's just, you know, that passion and that confidence that I am just convinced that we need to meet, Mr. Prospect, because this is going to change your business.
Yep. And you're right. We all salespeople have to believe in their product, believe in themselves, and have that passion. Doesn't mean you have to be crazy, you know, fanatical about it, but you have to be confident in it. And we have a right to promote our or discuss our solutions to customers, to make sure that they buy the right solution to solve the right problems and everything. You know, otherwise they're going to be left to their own devices and maybe buy the wrong thing. Like our competitor's product, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So as a salesperson, you can offer to be a resource. Offer to help them make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had more people, because I am very persistent. I mean, I will continue to call somebody until they tell me to leave them alone. So don't ignore Andrea Siddick-Rolfe, because she will find you. But I tell you, I've got more people that at the end of this whole process and after participating in my Blitz experience say, thank you so much for being persistent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had no idea. I thought this was the typical sales blitz that everybody does, but what you do is nothing like that. And in fact, one of my clients told me the other day, he said, when he first heard about my program, he said, oh, it sounded like telemarketing. And he said, you know, calling your program telemarketing is like calling a Mercedes a car. And I loved it. I was like, oh, can I put that on my website? That's great. What a great analogy.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you had a great comeback when someone says, when you're trying to set up an appointment, they say, why don't you send me some information?
Oh.
You had a great one that said, I can, but it gets delivered in a... got a 5'8", 100-something pound brunette package.
Yeah, yeah. No, so what they do is they say, yeah, can you send me some information? I say, you know, I'm happy to do that, but just so you know, the package is 5'8", 150 pounds with dark hair. You know, it'll be there tomorrow. And I'm telling you, I'm obviously describing myself as the package that's going to bring the literature, but it gets a laugh every time. Completely breaks the ice. If you can get somebody to laugh, you know, you're halfway there. Now, I'm sure if I said I was 5'9", blonde, and 120 pounds, I'd get a lot more meetings. But, you know, I'd have a lot of explaining to do when I got there. I'm sorry, she couldn't make it. She was sick today, so they sent me instead.
Right. We decided to go with FedEx and went with UPS.
Right.
And you got the brunette instead of the blonde.
Exactly, exactly. But it works. I mean, I've set appointments with people that were very difficult and maybe somewhat abrasive on the phone with me and have used that. And boy, and just anytime you can get somebody to laugh.
Yeah,
you know, that you're about, it's easier to get the appointment.
And that's the lesson here, I think. It's not, you know, everyone's not going to use that same line, but adding some humor in there, and I don't mean telling jokes, but adding something humorous to break the ice and make people feel more relaxed is always going to get you much closer to your goal than just sticking to a you know, formalities and such.
Right, right. Well, as an example, I have a couple of clients who are notorious for having tons of literature. I mean, more literature than you'd ever know what to do with. So one of their comebacks when somebody says, can you just send me literature? They say, yeah. Do you have a loading dock? You know, and that's a good one, too. I'm like, that's great. I mean, I had somebody do that in my training, and they were kidding, like they would never say that. I said, no, say that.
Yeah.
That's great. Do you have a loading dock? I mean, in other words, you know, hello, we have a ton of literature.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So which one do you want, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Andrea Siddick-Rolfe on unlocking your sales potential with the 7 keys to effective business-to-business appointment setting. You'll hear about that and a lot more when we return to Sales Talk after this.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
If your sales reps aren't making quota, or if you have difficulties managing your customer relations, or if you just want a world-class sales organization, then call Peak Sales Consulting. We can improve your customer acquisition and retention by working with your management and sales teams to develop your customer relationships and selling skills. For your sales and CRM consulting and training needs, or for a speaker at your next event, call us at 702-655-5652 or visit us at www.peaksalesconsulting.com. Peak Sales Consulting, a unique combination of sales and CRM expertise.
This message is brought to you by Factiva from Dow Jones.
Bob, have you seen our new sales quota? It's a real stretch. Every year it just gets harder and harder to sell, but what can we do about it?
Factiva from Dow Jones can help. Read our new white paper called Why It's So Tough to Sell Today and What You Can Do About It. You'll learn how to identify and qualify leads better, plus plan for calls more effectively, which will make your appointment more fruitful. Help yourself. Go to www.factiva.com/sales talk.
Okay, so that's www.factiva.com/sales talk.
More and more business people recognize the importance of spirituality in their work. How do busy professionals discover what rings true for them? Embracing the Journey with Karen Humphrey Salick explores what it means to be spiritually fulfilled in business and how to integrate spiritual direction into a career. Expert guests, authors, and inspiring speakers join Karen every week to discuss such issues as honesty, compassion, generosity, ethics, and integrity in the workplace. Take a positive step forward to greater life balance. Tune into Embrace the Journey with Karen Humphrey Salick, broadcasting every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel, the bottom line in business talk.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
Welcome back to Sales Talk with Russ Lombardo. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Russ.
Welcome back to Sales Talk. I'm your host, Russ Lombardo, and my guest today is Andrea Siddick-Rolf, CEO of Siddick Incorporated. And we're talking about how to unlock your sales potential with the 7 keys to effective business-to-business appointment setting. So, Andrea, we had some really good ideas and discussions about questions to ask, and now I want to ask you about how can you leverage voicemail and email as powerful appointment setting tools? Because, you know, we're talking about the phone and, you know, voice type of stuff, but, you know, one-on-one. But what about voicemail and email?
Well, voicemail is a really powerful tool to help set appointments. And when I do my training, there are a lot of people that say, oh, I just don't use voicemail. You know, if I get voicemail, I just hang up and I call later. And I just think, well, that's too bad, because when you master this skill of getting your phone calls returned, when somebody calls you, even if it's a return phone call, that appointment is so much easier to set because they're calling you at a time, then they have a few minutes to talk. It's just much more comfortable. So I've said, you know, why not learn some skills and techniques around setting, getting voicemails returned so that you can then set the appointment. So the whole thing with voicemail is that less is more. Voicemail is not your opportunity to leave a 3-minute commercial about you and your business and just bore somebody to tears to where they have to hit delete. So the key to voicemail is short and sweet, really brief, and you just want to, you want to do a couple things. You want to create credibility, and you want to create curiosity. So one of the techniques that can work really well is to reference a current customer that you're doing business with. So, for instance, let's say ABC Company is a customer. You might say, you know, hi, Mr. Prospect. This is Andrea Siddick-Rolf with Siddick Incorporated. I'm calling regarding ABC Company. Would you please return my call? So if this prospect doesn't know me, doesn't know my company, but he's familiar with ABC Company, he might call back. He might say, well, gosh, I wonder why she's calling me about ABC Company. Why is the curiosity piece? And, gosh, I know ABC Company. That's a competitor of ours, or they're just down the street from us, and so now they're curious, and they call back. So the whole point with voicemail is to get your call returned. I do not recommend using voicemail to set the appointment. Don't say on a voicemail, I'm going to be in your area, I'm going to stop by your office tomorrow at 2. Because guess what? That person's not going to be there, or they're not going to see you. Mm-hmm. So you want to get them to call you back so you can have the conversation and get the appointment, and then have them actually show up at the appointment.
Yeah. I actually hate those kind of calls, too. You get someone, I'll be in your area, and, you know, talk about the insurance salesmen seem to do that a lot.
Yeah.
We're going to be in your area Thursday, and, you know, like, you have to call them back to tell them not to come, basically.
Right, right. Well,
so that's too presumptuous there.
It is, and what I don't like about it is a couple things. One is there's no real sense of obligation now for that prospect to meet with you. It's easy for them to cancel because you're in the area anyway. So it's not a big deal for them to back out. And also, it doesn't really make them feel special.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that.
If you're one of 10 people that you're going to see in the area, well, I don't feel real special. But if you make a point of saying, you know, hey, I'm driving 2 hours to see just to see you, you know, the chances of them canceling are less. And they're going to feel like, okay, this person really cares about my business. They really want my business, and they're coming all this way just to see me.
Yep, yeah. So, all right, so email. We talked about voicemail.
Yeah.
Short, create credibility, create curiosity, great ideas. What about email?
So email works really well if you've been referred or as a follow-up. I don't recommend email as a way to reach a prospect on a cold contact, somebody that doesn't know you at all. I've experimented with this over the years and have just not had as much luck cold emailing as I have cold calling, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But email works great when you've been referred. And what you would do is in the subject line, if you had referred someone to me, Russ, the subject would say Russ Lombardo. And so if you're known to that person that I'm emailing, they're gonna open the email. Oh, well, why is this person emailing me about Russ? Right. Then you open the email and just very short, you know, kind of, I'd like to introduce myself. Russ Lombardo suggested that I contact you. Here's who I am and what I do. So I've experimented with that and have had great luck using email to set appointments when I've been referred. And there's that familiar name in the subject line.
Mm-hmm.
I also use email as a follow-up. So once I've met with a customer face-to-face, maybe they'd like some additional information, I'll send them an email as a follow-up. And by then, they will have met me. They're familiar with who I am, so they're more likely to open and respond to the email. Now, there is a skill or a trick that can work really well if people don't respond to your email. So the way that I do this is I will send an email, and I will just assume that that person may not get back to me. So 1 week out in my Outlook, I write myself a note, send this email to Bob Jones if Bob hasn't responded. And then what I do is I open that email that I had sent before, and I send it again as if it's the first time I've sent it. I don't say I sent you an email last week and you didn't respond. I don't do that. I forward it, and then I delete all the little forward messaging that comes up so it's as if it's an original email. And this does a couple things. One is it brings it to the top of the inbox. And there's something, it's kind of like branding. There's something about the familiarity, like, oh, I've seen this before, and she's sending this again, so I guess I didn't respond. And I'm telling you, by the second time I send the exact same email, I get about a 60% response rate. And by the third time, it's like 75%. You know, it's not 100%. People don't always respond. But there's just something about seeing that same email three times in a row about a week apart.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, works great.
Now, I've had some success with using email on a cold call, but in a different way. So, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, but there's another approach that works for me, and it may not work for everybody. And that is based on the fact that it takes, on average, 6 to 7 times to get through to people these days.
Yes.
And most salespeople give up after 2 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they make a few calls, and then they're done. And yeah, it's a pain to make 6 or 7 phone calls to many people, you know, because it adds up. So what I do is I usually call twice, then I'll send an email. And this is like a week apart, okay? So by the third week, I send an email. A week later, I'll call again, and the week after that, I'll do an email. So I'll keep, and I like your idea of sending the same one again, because
mm-hmm.
it doesn't insult them. Like, I know you're busy, because I have a tendency to do that too, you know. I know you've been busy, but I want to make sure you got this, and it's probably not as effective as what you're saying, so I think I may do that too. But using it as a kind of a flip-flop back and forth with cold calling, I actually have had more people call me back from emails or respond to email than I have with voicemail when I start doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Is another thing to try.
Well, I think a combination is good because people like to receive and respond to information differently.
Yeah.
You know, you have some people that prefer the phone and you have some people that prefer email, and if you're contacting somebody cold, you don't know that about them. You don't know if they like mail, email, or phone. So if you do a combination of those things, you're bound to hit one of them, and then they'll respond the way they want to respond, whether it be a phone call or
exactly.
sending an email.
Yep. So, Andrea, what's the AHA formula?
All right.
How it can help you overcome objections when you're trying to schedule appointments.
So the AHA formula, I've been doing this program for about 4 years, and it came to me in a vision. And I said, what is this that I'm teaching people how to do? So the AHA formula is an acronym for anticipate the objection, handle the objection, ask for the appointment. And it's not necessarily negative to say, oh, this person's going to shut me down. But, you know, more often than not, when you make a cold call, the person doesn't know you, you don't know them. It is human nature to just throw up that wall. I mean, think about how when people call you that you don't know, when it's a telemarketer, it's a cold call, you know, you immediately object when you haven't even heard who they are, what they have to offer. It's a knee jerk. So I call it a false objection because they don't even know you or what you do. So you anticipate the objection. If you anticipate it, you'll be ready for it. And then you handle it. And the way that you handle it varies on, you know, what the objection is, and I'll go through some of the common ones here in a second. And then you end it by asking for the appointment. And this is the piece that's so important in making these calls, is you don't want to just handle the objection and then be silent. You want to handle the objection and immediately say, gosh, we should get together. How's Thursday at 2 o'clock work for you?
Mm-hmm.
And then I also recommend when asking for the appointment not to give this choice of how's Tuesday morning or Thursday afternoon. One, everybody does that.
Yeah.
And they've heard it before.
It's contrived, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And then the other thing is that you make it easy for them by saying how's Thursday at 2. They can look at their calendar. They only have to look at one place on their calendar. And if that doesn't work for them, now the conversation is not if you should meet, it's when you should meet. So if Thursday at 2 doesn't work, well, then what does work for you? Or at that point, you could offer another alternative. The other thing that it does is by you being very specific about the date and time that you'd like to have the appointment, it lets the prospect know that you're busy, that you've got a full schedule, and this is what works for you. And another thing that can work well, too, is instead of scheduling appointments at 10 o'clock or 10:30, you can do it at 10:15 or 11:45. And what that does is it kind of lets the prospect know, okay, if he's going to meet with me at 10:15, well, it's probably going to be about a 15-minute meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're letting them know this is not going to be a three-hour meeting, and I'm busy, and that's why I have to schedule appointments every 15 minutes.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, yeah. Listen, I want to ask you about some objections as examples, but we have to take another break.
Oh, okay.
I hate this.
Oh,
I want to keep on going. Yeah. Well, we're talking to Andrea Siddick-Roth, CEO of Siddick Incorporated, and we're talking about unlocking your sales potential with the 7 keys to effective business-to-business appointment setting. And we're going to finish up when we come back to Sales Talk after this.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
If your sales reps aren't making quota, or if you have difficulties managing your customer relations, or if you just want a world-class sales organization, then call Peak Sales Consulting. We can improve your customer acquisition and retention by working with your management and sales teams to develop your customer relationships and selling skills. For your sales and CRM consulting and training needs, or for a speaker at your next event, call us at 702-655-5652 or visit us at www.peaksalesconsulting.com. Peak Sales Consulting, a unique combination of sales and CRM expertise. This message is brought to you by Factiva from Dow Jones.
Bob, have you seen our new sales quota? It's a real stretch. Every year it just gets harder and harder to sell, but what can we do about it?
Factiva from Dow Jones can help. Read our new white paper called Why It's So Tough to Sell Today and What You Can Do About It. You'll learn how to identify and qualify leads better, plus plan for calls more effectively, which will make your appointment more fruitful. Help yourself. Go to www.factiva.com/sales talk.
Okay, so that's www.factiva.com/sales talk.
Hey, kid. Over here, inside your radio. Name's Ralph. I'm an energy hog. Hey, if you're gonna waste energy in your home, I'm gonna pig out on it. Anyway, I got a deal for you. There's this new website called energyhog.org. Forget about it. It teaches kids how to get rid of us energy hogs. So you promise not to log on to energyhog.org, and I promise not to eat your radio. A deal?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council. Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Welcome back to Sales Talk with Russ Lombardo. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Russ.
Welcome back once again to Sales Talk. I'm your host, Russ Lombardo, and my guest today is Andrea Siddick-Rolf, CEO of Siddick Incorporated. And we're talking about how to unlock your sales potential with the seven keys to effective business-to-business appointment setting. Before the break, Andrea was telling us about the AHA formula, which is anticipate the objection, handle the objection, and then ask for whatever it is you need, an appointment or whatever. And I want to talk to you about some of the objections that you've come across. I love talking about objections because that's the thing that makes salespeople get pretty much turned away. So very healthy discussion to talk about sample objections and how they're handled. So do you have something you could share with us?
Absolutely. So one of the there's three that I would say are probably the most common. Probably the most common is I'm happy with my current provider. Oh my gosh, how do you sell against that? How do you get in if somebody's completely satisfied with who they're currently using? And most of the time when a salesperson is calling to promote their products and services, the people they're calling are all already, yes, are working with somebody. I mean, that's very common. So understanding how to overcome this particular objection where people are satisfied with status quo can be difficult, but I have several techniques that work well. One is to say, I call this the 1 to 10 technique. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being perfect, and of course nobody's perfect, what would you rate your current provider? And you have to say 10 being perfect, and of course nobody's perfect. You have to take 10 away from the prospect. If you don't, they will say 10. And now you have no opportunity. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being perfect, and of course nobody's perfect, what would you rate your current provider? Even if they say 9.5, there is an opportunity for you between 9.5 and 10. You know, what would they need to do to improve? That's why I'm calling. We should really just get together. How does, you know, Monday for drinks work for you, you know, after work or whatever? So that works really well, the 1 to 10 technique. Another one is to say, you know, we don't mind being second. It's always great to have a backup vendor. Why don't we just get together? How does Wednesday at 3 o'clock work? And then finally, to be able to say, you know, actually, who are you working with? And you get the prospect to tell you who their provider is and say, you know, we can actually augment or enhance what you are currently doing. That's a reason to meet in person, because it doesn't necessarily have to be them or us. You know, don't put them in a situation where you have to choose between us. Why not have both? And you also don't want to insult the decision they made previously to go with your competitor.
Right. Yeah. You got to kind of give a little respect there, don't you?
Another common one is, oh, I'm too busy. You know, you've called, you've tried to set an appointment. Oh, I'm just too busy. Well, you know, great. I like it when somebody says they're too busy. I say, you know, I really don't want to take your time now anyway. What I'd like to do is set up a time Thursday at 10, or, you know, set up a time Thursday morning when you've got a little bit more time to talk. So actually, the I'm too busy objection is kind of an easy one to overcome, because you don't want to take up their time now. You want to schedule a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, here's another one that used to drive me crazy until I figured out how to deal with it. Somebody say, oh, yeah, call me back next week. Call me back next week. Yeah, right. What are the odds you're ever going to get that person on the phone again?
Yeah.
Never. You're never going to get them on the phone again. You've worked this hard to get them on the phone now. So the technique here is to say, you know, I'd be happy to do that, but why don't we just tentatively put something on the calendar now, and I'll call you back to confirm, or I'll call you back to remind. Microsoft did a study, and they showed that about 70% of the time, when you put something on your calendar, even if it's tentative, you could have the word tentative written next to it, doesn't matter. You could have it in pencil. 70% of the time, that event will occur if it's in your calendar. So if you can get your prospect to put your name on their calendar, there is a 70% chance that that meeting will happen, which are much better odds than you calling back a week later to try to get the appointment.
Right. That is a huge, huge tip.
And this is great if somebody says, oh, I'm going on vacation, call me in 2 weeks. You know, why don't we just tentatively get it on the calendar for the Thursday after you get back?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it works.
That's a great tip, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other kind of objections?
Well, probably the I'm not interested.
Yeah, let's talk about that one. That's a very common
one. I'm not interested. I mean, you know, and the thing is, people could say, there's lots of different things they could say that would mean I'm not interested. But one of the really powerful things here, and this kind of goes back to our conversation about ideal client profile and, you know, surveying your customers, finding out why they chose you over the competitor. To be able to say, somebody says, I'm not interested. You know, that is exactly what ABC Company said when I first called them. But do you know that they've become a customer and we've been able to increase their productivity by 35%? Why don't we just get together, how's, you know, Friday at 2 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to say, that's the same thing that a current customer said a long time ago, and then I go right into a results statement. Here's what our products and services have done for them. Here's the bottom line. And it's not even about benefit. You know, benefits, schmenefits. I mean, we used to, you know, hear, oh, don't talk about features, talk about benefits.
Yeah.
Well, I say don't talk about benefits, talk about results. People want to know the bottom line. What did you do for somebody else that you might also do for me? So to be able to highlight a couple of customers, or with, you could either go into a lot of detail about a project that you've done with one customer, or you could say customers like, and you could list three or four big names that you've done business with.
Wouldn't it help to also mention competitors that you've done that with?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, because they're going to say, I want to be like Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's their secret to success. Aha.
Exactly.
I can get Andrea in here to teach me those secrets, too.
Mm-hmm. You got
well,
it.
One of the things, and I want to ask you about more, but what I want to interject here is, as people are listening to this, it's very important that you log or list all the objections that you hear,
mm-hmm.
not just now, but over the next year, right? Just list all the ones you have and come up with the best responses you can and create a list, keep it in a binder, review it, study it, memorize those responses because the responses have to be natural.
Yes.
And they have to be spontaneous. And if you're just trying to make up one while you're there when someone says, well, you know, like all the ones you said, you know, without
mm-hmm.
me repeating them, and you're like fumbling through, well, how about
it's
not going to work. Yeah, yeah. But you got to have that down cold, you know. I mean, even then you won't because there's always someone throws you a curve. But
right.
Don't be afraid to document this and create yourself a little booklet of all the objections that you come across.
Well, you know what I recommend? This is something I use as a tool that's very effective in my training. You could create your own set of flashcards, and I talk about
mm-hmm.
this in my book. You know, get out some colorful cards, write the particular objection on the front, turn it back, turn it over, and write the little talk track on how you respond to that particular objection. You can just use construction paper to do this. And what's neat about the different colors is you have a different color for a different objection, and over time your brain starts to associate color with objection. Somebody says, I'm not interested. Oh, yeah, that's the yellow one. Or I'm happy with my current provider. Oh, yeah, that's the green one. It's kind of like training wheels. You use the flashcards for a while. You literally have them in front of you. You hear the objection. You turn over the card. And then over time you don't need them anymore. Because you've memorized them.
Right, right. Hey, how about one more objection?
Okay.
And we'll wrap up.
Are you going to give me one?
No. Yes, I object.
You want me to make up one?
Well, I should have said that a different way. Do you have one more objection that we can go through before I wrap up?
Oh, sure. How about that decision is made out of our corporate office? Or I'm not really the decision maker. So this is kind of a catch-22. You don't necessarily want to meet with somebody who's not a decision-maker, but often you can turn that person into an ambassador. A lot of times with large companies especially, you may not be able to get to the decision-maker at corporate. With my biggest clients, I did not get to the ultimate decision-maker first. I had to go in and create an ambassador who was a champion that would then pull me up the ranks, take me up the ladder and say, you know, here's the person you need to meet, but you've got to meet with the people that are on the lower levels first. So to say, you know, that's okay, I'd still love to come and meet you. You know, I'd still love to come learn about your business. That's okay if you're not the decision maker. But still get that meeting, develop a relationship with that person, get them to see the value of what they do, and then watch them go and sell it to the decision maker.
Or help them sell it
help
to the decision maker because, you know, who could do that better but you?
Right.
At least they'll get you up there.
Yeah, get them to introduce you to the decision maker. Be on one team together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent ideas, excellent topic. This has been a lot of fun. Unfortunately, we got to end.
Oh, I
Andrea,
hate that.
Could you tell our listeners how they can contact you?
Absolutely. My website is www.sittiginc.com. S as in Sam, ITTIGINC.com. And my phone number is 206-769-4886.
Say it again, please.
206-769-4886.
Fantastic. Listen, I'd like to thank Andrea Sittig-Rolf for being such a terrific guest, and I'd like to thank my listeners for tuning in. Next week, I'm going to have Jim Cecil on the show, and we're going to talk about nurture marketing. If you're interested in learning more about selling, sales processes, and CRM, check out my new book at www.cybersellingbook.com, or just give me a call, Russ Lombardo, at 702-655-5652, or send me an email at russ@peak, P-E-A-K, like Mountain Peak, salesconsulting.com. Thanks for listening to Sales Talk. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Sales Talk. To contact Russ or for more information, visit www.peaksalesconsulting.com. Tune in next Monday for another advantageous and profitable hour of Sales Talk with Russ Lombardo.